Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink, even if you have no money. Come, take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me, and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. See how I used him to display my power among the peoples. I made him a leader among the nations. You will also command nations you do not know, and peoples unknown to you will come running to obey, because I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, have made you glorious. Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. You will live in joy and peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Where once there were thorns, cypress trees will grow. Where nettles grew, myrtles will sprout up. These events will bring great honor to the Lord's name. They will be an everlasting sign of his power and love.
Thank you very much. What a lovely day to be preaching. I wish I could do it outside. It's so beautiful outside. You know, last week, Emma preached an absolute storm. She preached an absolute cracker on Hebrews 10, 19 to 25. And I don't know if you remember, but she was talking about the invitation, an invitation to faith, an invitation to hope, and an invitation to love. It was an invitation for us to come to God. And actually, you know, this week, I hadn't planned it before, but the title of this text in the NIV is an invitation to the thirsty. And that's what we're going to be looking at today, is an invitation to the thirsty. And the title of this sermon is Anyone Thirsty? As we've had beautifully read by Emma, Isaiah 55 verses 1 to 13. Is anyone thirsty? We all know that water is imperative for us to live. If you didn't know, the human body, it contains about 60% water. Lungs actually contain 83% water, skin 64%, and even our bones are quite watery. They contain 31% of water. This surprised me, but I didn't know that babies, when they're born, they are actually 78% water. So a baby is actually only 22% human. It's actually only 22% of the cuteness that you see. Otherwise, it's just water. And so it's incredible. Water is everywhere. We need it for everything. It's part of our system to get our bodies going. It clears out, it helps with our nutrition. It helps to bring oxygen around our body. It helps to clear out the waste and the unnecessary things, and it keeps our body hydrated and fresh. I wonder if you knew a bit about dehydration then. Because did you know that a 2% decrease in water causes a 20% decrease in the mental and physical performance and productivity? So if you lose 2% of water in your body, 20% of your productivity will drop. If you lose 5 to 8%, then it will cause extreme fatigue and dizziness. If you lose 10%, that's when you will start to experience extreme mental and physical damage in your body. And actually, 25% will cause death of dehydration. Incredible and crazy facts. Our bodies, everything about us, we need water. We need it. We can't live without it. Praise God that he makes us thirsty. Because imagine if we didn't have that urge to thirst. If we never felt thirsty, if we never had those prompts in our body to tell us that we were becoming dehydrated. We obviously get those ones, the dry mouths, the dry skin, the headaches, the feeling dizzy, all those prompts that help us to know when we're getting thirsty. If we didn't have them, then we would be in real trouble. And God is amazing because not only does he give us physical signs to help us realize when we're thirsty, he also gives us emotional and spiritual signs when we're becoming thirsty and dehydrated and we're actually needing more of him and his spirit. Sometimes a spiritually and emotionally drained person, someone who's thirsty, can actually find that some of these are the signs. Maybe they're feeling consumed with worry, or they're becoming anxious and fearful. Maybe it's having sleepless nights or feeling lonely and depressed, which is happening more and more during COVID-19, as Emma just very amazingly brought forth. Maybe it's a feeling of hopelessness or full of guilt, just a sense of longing for something more. There must be something more than this. You know, before lockdown, we were in the office pretty much every day. And I used to carry this water bottle with me almost every day. And the slogan on the bottle is drink more water. And the idea is that it helps you to make sure that you're drinking more water. So on the other side, you've got timers. So 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, da, 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 even the afternoon. And every hour you're supposed to have drunk a section of water. So that by the end of the day, by 6 o'clock, you've drunk 2 full bottles of water. And I was pretty good. I'm not going to lie. I was pretty on point with drinking water. I was pretty good. I was on point. I was doing well. But as soon as we got into lockdown, my system changed. My office is right next to the kitchen. So instead of bringing my bottle, I would creep into the kitchen and I would snack on some food, or I would, oh, that looks nice, I'll graze on this, I'll graze on that, because I was actually, instead of thinking that I was thirsty, I was actually thinking I was hungry. My signals were being mixed up, and I was replacing my thirst with hunger, and as a result, I put on a couple of extra pounds. You know, that's sometimes what we do in our spiritual life, isn't it? Sometimes instead of running to God, we try and fill ourselves with other things. And we try to satisfy our want and our need for God with so much more things that are around us. And we can often blame the difficulties we face just on, well, I'll get through it. It's okay. Or, you know, it's only stress. It's only tiredness. It's okay. It will go. And sooner or later, we ignore those warning signs that tell us that we're spiritually thirsty. Max Lucado says it really well. He says, stress signals are a deeper need, a longing for something more. When we ignore our stress signals, when we ignore those signals or we replace them with other things, we're ignoring the signals for a longing for something more. I want to ask you today, are there any signs of thirst in your life? You may not realize it, but take a moment and ask yourself, am I spiritually healthy or am I spiritually thirsty? Am I overflowing or am I nearly empty? Psalm 23 verse 5 says, you prepare a table before me. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. This morning as I was, or not this morning as I was preparing, but this week as I was preparing, God brought that song, All Who Are Thirsty, to me a couple of weeks ago. And I've been meditating on that. And we're actually going to use that as response. But my question to you this morning is, does your cup overflow? Or are you thirsty? Because the very first line of Isaiah 55 verse 1 says, God is saying to his people, is anyone thirsty? So let's have a look then at the text. Let's delve into it and see what Isaiah is trying to say to us, or what God is trying to say to us through his word. What can we do about this thirst? Well, there are three things that I think we can pick up. Firstly, the first point is come and drink. Very simple, come and drink. It says in 1-2, is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come, take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? So first point is come and drink. But we probably should ask, who is invited then to come and drink? Well, I believe there are two key groups of people that we're being pointed to, that God is speaking to. And I believe that if you are honest with yourself, you'll probably find yourself in one of these two groups. The first group is the thirsty and the broke, those that have no money and they know that they are thirsty. They're thirsty and they know they can't pay for it. They have a deep hunger. It says, is anyone thirsty? Come and drink, even if you have no money. If you're in the first category this morning, you know that you are thirsty. You know that you need more of God. And you know, in this pandemic where we just seem to be coming, like some people are just flourishing, but others are becoming dry and tired and weary and thirsty. And it can feel like you're just drying up on the inside. You can feel like when the sun is scorching the grass and it's becoming, it's just dying and it's starting to wilt and it's starting to go in the summer days. And you're just waiting for a fresh rain. The stress, the fear, the worry, the isolation, the tiredness, even church online just doesn't seem to be refilling your cup in the way that it used to. Hope is drying up. Maybe your dreams are drying up this morning. And that might be you this morning. But God is saying, welcome, come to me, come and drink. That's the first group, the thirsty and the broke. You know that you're thirsty. You know that you're hungry. You know that you need more, but you don't know what to do. The second group, if you don't find yourself in the first, I believe you'll find yourself in the second. And I know that I find myself in the second group. It's the self-sufficient. It says in verse 2, why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? You know, the first group, they're spiritually bankrupt and they know it. But the second group are self-sufficient. They're relying on their own strength. They're relying on their own funds. They have money to be able to continue on. They have strength to be able to ride it out. And sometimes it can seem like we're doing okay. We can seem like we're living our lives and, oh, on a Sunday, we come with a Christian smile because it's Sunday morning. But Monday morning, the reality is that we're actually spiritually dry and we need more of Jesus. When money runs out, when our strength runs out, when everything falls apart, when actually finally we are no longer able to be self-sufficient, underneath it all, there's a reality that we're thirsty and we need more of God. No matter how we look on the outside, fundamentally, each and every one of us has a thirst for more of God. And so today, whatever group you're in, if it's in group one or group two, it doesn't matter, because the invitation is the same. Come and drink. Come, all who are weary. Come, all who are thirsty. Come and drink. But whether you're Jew or Gentile, slave or free, rich or poor, whether you're thirsty or you're self-sufficient, whether you're dry or whether you're overflowing, we're all invited to come. Matthew Henry said it well when he said, God excludes no one that does not exclude themselves. God excludes no one that does not exclude themselves. You know, the text in the NIV, it says come over five times in these passages. Come, 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 come. It just calls, God is calling us to come to him. Psalm 103 verse 5 says, he fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Psalm 107 verse 9 says, for he satisfies the thirsty, hallelujah, and fills the hungry with good things. Oh God, hallelujah. He satisfies the hungry. He fills them with good things. So what is God inviting us to come and drink this morning? What are we invited to do? Well, if we have a look at the passage, there are three things that he's looking at. And those things are water, wine, and milk. Or not in that order, water, milk, and wine. Wine, I know if Mark Bedford's here, he's probably saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Wine, hallelujah. But the first one, water. Water represents the Spirit of God, and it's for our refreshment. It's the thing we need when we're most thirsty, when you're just gasping for a glass of something. You just desire so much. You can have something else, but actually water is the only thing that truly satisfies. The Holy Spirit is the only thing that is truly going to satisfy. You know, throughout the world, we have various companies that offer you promises of refreshment. One of my favorite is Coca-Cola. And I don't know if you know some of their slogans, but some of Coca-Cola's slogans are the pause that refreshes. Sounds nice. The pause that refreshes. Or another one says, Coca-Cola refreshes you best. Oh, that's got a nice ring to it. Or this one is quite simple. It satisfies thirst. Or the other one, the best friend thirst ever had. What a great slogan. Coca-Cola have it all under. They just got it. Or there's Heineken, which says, how refreshing, how Heineken. But the matter of fact is, the truth is, when push comes to shove, when you're really thirsty, when you are parched, you don't run to Coca-Cola. You don't run to Heineken, because actually both will probably make you thirstier as a result. The only thing that's going to satisfy is a glass of cold ice water. The only thing that's going to satisfy us is a drink of the Holy Spirit. The second one is milk, and that represents the word of God. And we see that actually it means the ongoing nourishment. God isn't just about refreshment. He's about the ongoing long haul. He's about refreshing us, but also about nourishing us for the long term, bringing us strength in our bones. You know, Olivia, she loves water. She could drink water from morning till night, and that is awesome. We're not going to introduce juice as long as we can. But one of the things we know that she needs is milk. So we have to ensure that she has milk in order to get that strength, in order for her bones to become strong. And you know, that's just like us in our spiritual walk. Sometimes we stay on water, but actually God is giving us milk in order to strengthen us and to make us last the full journey. And then lastly, wine. Hallelujah. Not only do we stay on water and milk, but God brings us wine. Oh, praise the risen Savior. It is something that we can thank the Lord for when we're having a nice glass, and we can just, but it represents ongoing joy. It represents feast. It represents the goodness of God, and it represents a fun and a God who's all about exhilaration and joy and happiness. You know, Jesus himself turned water into wine, because he understood the importance that it had. God wants us to be, to quench our thirst. He wants us to be nourished by milk, but he also wants us to live in joy, the joy of the Holy Spirit, the joy that we receive from him. And ultimately, John 7, Jesus says it very clearly. It says in verse 37, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus took and stood and said in the loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. That's ultimately what we're invited to come. We're invited to come and to have the Spirit well up within us and to overflow our cup. We see an invite for fresh water, for milk, for wine, and for a refreshing of the Holy Spirit. It's free. It's never going to end. It's overflowing. It's never going to run out. And it's more than enough for you and me. So the first invite is come and drink. The second one is call on him. That is what we are called to do. We need to call on him today. It says, seek the Lord while you find him. Call on him now while he is near. You can read the rest. But that's what it says. Seek the Lord. Call on him now while he is near. What does that mean, while he is near? Does that mean that God is going to disappear? Does that mean that God is going somewhere? Isn't he omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient? Well, I want to reassure you today, God isn't going anywhere. But often we are. Often in our lives, we can sometimes miss the opportunity to refill on God's word, to refill on him. And we miss that opportunity to really receive afresh from God. You know, every morning I know that Olivia wakes us up, and one of the first things we do is we make sure that she gets a bottle of milk and she makes sure she's okay. But probably quite often, the first thing that I'll do as well is I'll check my phone. But sadly to say, not often is it always the word of God that I check first thing. Quite often I'll find myself looking at my news, the news headlines of the day, or maybe checking WhatsApp, or maybe even emails. And I can begin to waste time not looking to God, but actually looking to what's going on in the world and trying to fill my time and my life with other things. But actually, God is saying, come, call on me. Call on me now. Don't replace me with other things. Don't put in other things in my place, but come, call on me. What's the first thing to check? What's the first thing you check in the morning? What's the first thing you call on? Do you call on God, or do you call on things in this world? One of the things I love is that Olivia used to always look to Daddy, but recently she's been saying Mama, Mama, Mama so much. And she's going through a mummy stage. But anyway, the other night I was helping Olivia get to bed, and Mummy was on a call, so she wasn't there. And the very last thing that Olivia was saying was, Mama, gone, Mama, gone, Mama, gone. And she kind of kept saying that until finally she fell asleep. And then the first thing she said when she woke up, Mama, gone, Mama, gone. Mama was the thing that she wanted when she fell asleep. And Mama was the thing she wanted when she woke up. I wonder if that's a picture of our lives. Do we want God the very last thing at night? And do we want God as the very first thing in the morning? Sometimes we need to look to him and we need to call on him. God isn't going anywhere. But we are often in danger of missing that opportunity to come and drink, to be refreshed, to soak in his Spirit. We need to stop, take a moment, and allow him to minister to us. Jeremiah 29 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you. Isaiah said in that text, let when we turn to him, when we call on him, it says, let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. God is calling us to come in surrender. He's calling us to come and repent and say, God, I need more of you. God, I am not able to do this on my own. Come, refill me, fill my cup. I need you. I surrender myself before you. You know, until we are fully empty, we cannot be filled completely. Until we are emptied, we will not be completely full. God has to fill us in afresh, and he will forgive us generously. Why? Because his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, and his ways are higher than our ways, how much greater are his thoughts, how much greater are his ways than ours? And God has promised that he will do it for us. He's promised that we can't do it on our own, but when we call on him, he is faithful to answer. I wonder this morning, do you need to come and drink? Do you need to call on him? And lastly, do you need to carry out his joy and peace? It says in verse 12, you will live in joy and peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song, and the trees of the fields will clap their hands. Where once there were thorns, cypress trees will grow. Where nettles grew, myrtles will sprout up. These events will bring great honor to the Lord's name. They will be an everlasting sign of the power and love. You know, every Wednesday we're doing a course called Fruitfulness on the Frontline. And in our group, last week, we looked at modeling godly character and what that means, and looking at how our lives model the lives of Christ. And we looked at Galatians 5, and I love the title. It says, life by the Spirit. In verse 13, it says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The text is clear. We will live in joy and peace. I wonder this morning, are you living by the Spirit? If you did a check of your life today, if you did a checklist according to the fruits of the Spirit, does your life reflect love, joy, peace, patience, forbearance, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, and self-control? I know for me, there are areas that I need to work on. But that's what we are called to be. We are called to be a people that carry out his joy and his peace wherever we go, to be a people that are called to be refreshed. Why? Because the mountains and the hills will burst forth with song, and the trees and the fields will clap their hands. These events will bring great honor to the Lord's name. They will be an everlasting sign of his power and love. Does our life reflect God's power? Does our life seem dry and thirsty? Or does it seem full of the strength of the Holy Spirit? Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, rivers of living water will flow within them. Do you have rivers of living water? Do you have that river flowing from within you? Because Psalm 145 says, you open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. God is wanting to satisfy your desires. He's wanting to fill your cup to overflowing. You know, you might be saying this morning, but I've drunk of Jesus. I've given my life to him, and I've already had that, but I feel thirsty and empty again. That's okay. The invite is come, not just once, but come again and come again. Come and feast on the Lord. Allow his spirit, allow his word, and allow his truth to make you more like him. I love that the very end of the Bible brings us back to this. Revelation 22, verse 17 says, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let anyone who hears this say, come. Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life." This morning, I want to invite you to come, drink afresh. Breathe in the Holy Spirit. Feast on him, for he is good and he is all that you need today. Come and surrender. Come and offer yourself before him, for he will not disappoint. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we come before you. Lord, we want to feast on you again, Lord God. Lord, we want to put aside all the things in our lives, oh God, that would so easily distract us, so easily take us away from who you are. Lord God, we come. We call on you, Father, that we may be able to carry out your joy and peace wherever we go. Spirit, refresh our hearts. Refresh our souls. Lord, I pray for anyone right now who is feeling so dry, so thirsty. Or Lord, even for those who can find themselves in the second group, Lord, that they've become self-sufficient. Lord, help us to drink upon you. Help us to come as we are. No matter how we are, Father, we just ask that you would refill us again. We give you praise, Lord God. Amen.